Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. How are you?
On this. It's interesting.
Snowing.
Yeah, it started snowing as soon as I leave to come to the show. I said, you gotta be kidding me. But anyway, it doesn't look bad.
No, not
right
yet.
Now it is January 18th, 2020. It's 10:04 in the morning. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, and then it will be on after the sporting event. The show is also available every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming if you go to our website, sapperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says live streaming, and you should be able to follow the show. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, you go to sapperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives. Click on Archives, and all of our archive shows are there. And then finally, last but not least, I hate to leave that free economic report out that's
you
available every week. But there is a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy. And we always say it's very brief, understandable. Sometimes they throw their opinions in. But
yeah.
But it's like anything else. You take everything with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of interesting facts, though, put out there. So
right.
We encourage you, go to the website and get the free economic report. Usually available, late Friday, early Saturday?
Yeah, definitely early Saturday.
Yeah, early Saturday is probably the best.
While,
yeah.
Yeah, no. So, and it's well-written, easy to understand, mm-hmm. A lot of charts. Not a lot, a number of them that show what they're talking about, especially with a lot of the economic news that comes out during that week. And, I think it's interesting, Peter, they, like a lot of prognosticators, are a little bit shocked that the market has done so well, aren't they? Isn't it? Do you see that? Do you feel that?
As the whole world has been for the last, 10 years?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, all the way up, all you hear is people, oh, my God, oh, my God, And, eventually they'll be right, and it's not that I'm being tremendously bullish or saying it can end. Obviously, at some point in time, it can or have a decent correction. But,
there's also the big thing that I think we've seen is time corrections, that the longer it goes, the less possible it's going to be that there's going to be that.
Right.
We've seen the 6 percenters. What I'm most concerned about is that 30%. And that happens so quickly. And, it's usually because there's something underlying it. It's usually not just a technical reason for it. There's some dramatic issue, whether it's a banking crisis or, God forbid, a war or terrorism and that. But I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, right now, before we go on, but 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Once again, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Right now, as always, the lines are wide open, very easy to get in. We like to talk to people on the phone. But if for some reason you don't want to call in, you can use our chat box at the website, sapperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Chat. And there's a chat box.
So as I told you, somebody forgot their laptop.
Who?
Me.
Not me.
So I don't have the ability to toggle in between sites.
Yeah, but I can bring it.
You can do it. All right. Pete's
right. I'll have to do it.
You're gonna make
my day tough. But
do
anyway.
I have to give you my salary?
Well, I don't know.
My pay for today? You can have it, all right?
I don't know if that'll help, but anyway.
How could it help? It's nothing. What are you doing?
I know. But anyway,
yes,
you can go to that chat box and type in a question or type in a symbol. And if you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with it. right now, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
So there is something on the chat box because
this stupid computer won't pick it up.
Okay. Somebody wrote in yesterday asking about a couple stocks.
Good, thank God.
His name was Mark. I can't remember the stocks. I read it last night, so I can't remember what it was.
You can't remember? Maybe
no.
Somebody else in the chat box can let us know.
No, one of them was, I can't remember. There were two of them, I know that.
Okay, but anyway. Somebody help us out. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800.
You're going to force me to work today?
7541. Well, this stupid thing is just stuck. You know, it's.
That's a nice semicircle.
Yeah, I like that. It's impressive. But anyway. So, you know, do give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. One thing, you know, on the topic you were talking about, obviously the higher the market goes, the more that an unexpected event that nobody's anticipated will have a bigger effect because the market has gone up so much. Because that I can't disagree with at all. And, you know, it's, you know, what might be a little frightening, I think the Barron's cover article is saying 30,000, you know, the market should blow right by it, you know, should just keep going. And, you know, when you see a cover story like that, a little bothersome.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, if I look at the seasonal charts, which tend to, you know, they're never perfect, but, you know, the seasonal chart based on the election cycle. You know, normally the last year of election cycle or the election year, which is the last year of the election cycle, is normally a good year. Mm-hmm. It's up, you know, since 1928, I think it's up about 72% of the time. So the odds are high there. Also, but if I look at the chart month by month, the typical election year cycle tends, and doesn't have to happen this way, but tends to have some kind of peak in about mid-January, kind of pulls back a little, goes sideways, and then sometimes in February, it runs up early February, and then you can have a potential consolidation or sell-off into March sometime. Then after that, it's up and away. Until at least September. So we'll see. You know, that's not obviously, if everything was perfect, there probably wouldn't be a market because everybody would have all the money. You know, so there'd be no money. But anyway, you know, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Obviously, it was another good week in the market. All the averages were up, you know, pretty decently. And for the year, the Dow is already up 2.84%, the S&P 3.06%, NASDAQ still running along, up 4.64%, and the Russell, which had a very slow start to the year, is now up 1.9%, trying to catch up. So obviously all of the averages are in good shape, you know. And I was reading, you know, on this weekend's Barron's, it says, while stocks look expensive on just about every metric one can find, the S&P 500's price-to-earnings ratio of 18.9 is the highest since the aftermath of the dot-com bubble. Yet, there is one metric by which stocks still look cheap, price-to-cash returns. And now, you know, who knows, this is a preferred metric, says Dennis DeBuscher, strategist at Evercore ISI. I wouldn't use a traditional metric, he says, based on price-to-cash spent on dividends and stock buybacks, and always somebody finds something, you know. He notes that the S&P's 500 valuation is in the bottom quartile of history. If nothing changes, which is to say a lot, low inflation, stable rates, growing cash returns, the market will be biased higher, for what it's worth, right?
You're right.
So there you go. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go first to Don in Hamburg. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me turn my radio down.
Okay.
Okay. My question concerns, it's kind of a technical question. I own Generac, and it had a good week. Of course, everything just about did.
Yeah.
But all week long, I've been watching the volume. And every day it's below their average. So do you how do you view that? I mean, like view that as a positive?
Well, what are you talking about? Below the 50-day moving average of their volume?
Whatever Yahoo says average volume is, I don't.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what the problem. You know what the problem with that is?
Oh, that
I will tell you.
Okay, that's why I called.
Back around Christmas time, you had an unbelievable volume spike. You know, above 1.7 million shares. That distorts it. You know, so you can't go by that. So what you always do is you look for some abnormal volume spike in the, you know, recent past, the last 40 or 50 days, okay? And that will distort it until that gets out of the picture, you know.
Okay. So that explains why it looks... Yeah, because I'm looking at it, and it's going up, you know, it's going up a dollar, it's going up, you know, every
right.
day it was
yeah.
up. But
yeah.
every day the volume was below the average. And I'm thinking, well, if it's positive, I mean, you would think that the volume would be above it.
Yeah, matter of fact, you know, in October and in November, you had even bigger volume spikes up to 2.2 million. Hmm. So until all that factors out of the moving average for average volume, it's distorted.
Okay. What's your price target on this?
What would you like?
I don't know. Pick a number.
Sometimes that's just as good. I don't know. But let me take a look at the point and figure chart for, you know, for what it's worth.
Okay.
And we'll see what they come up with a target based on their approach.
One of the problems is so many of the stocks have moved so quickly, and this is almost across the board, Pete, that these price targets. Well, you see the analysts. That was another point I wanted. The analysts are raising their targets on all these stocks based on the recent movement.
You know? Well, you know, it always – well, not to digress a lot, but
– You will.
But I will, yeah. No. But what do you ever notice when they raise their price targets sometimes, they're still at or under where it is?
No, that's happening, right.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, you know. Right. But anyway – I mean, if you look at this...
And this closed at 103.52 for those yeah. that don't
so, know. So the point and figure target on it's 113, okay? And, you know, for what that's worth.
And FinViz is 105.
What?
FinViz's target is 105.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they all come up, you know, with different methods.
Well, they're behind, though. I've noticed that FinViz seems slow when it comes to these faster-moving stocks.
So. Yeah, that's no question about it. I could check one other thing real quick if I can find it. You know, should have put my glasses on. That would have helped. But anyway, yeah, I mean, what is important is it just broke out of a nice consolidation, you know, that's been going on since early December.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been riding around looking, and there's a generator here, there's one here. The neighbor next to my son just put one in. You know, the thing in California, I've read articles where they're training people to install these things in hotels, and it's very positive as far as they're going to beat their earnings this quarter, I think,
right.
for sure.
Well, I mean,
the demand is there.
Yeah, what you always have to watch, as you know, is, yeah, you know, everybody expects them to beat it, and if they expect them to beat it by more than they do, yeah, that's a different story, right? So, but anyway,
right.
yeah.
Right.
But I mean, that breakout's very strong, and, you know, where it broke out was what, at, looks like about 102. So, you know, theoretically, that 102 area should be good support for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like I'll change the subject to a different stack because I wanted your opinion on this, too. Sorrento Therapeutics. SRNE.
Yeah, wasn't there some excitement about that recently?
They have a. Well, that was my question. Mm-hmm. Is a couple months ago in November or October, they had a buyout offer, and it was for $3 to $5 a share, and they got the offer on the 23rd, and they rejected it 2 days later.
Okay.
Okay. So now they have another offer for $7 to $7 a share. And they've got that offer 8 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you interpret that? And let me add one more thing. There was a SEC filing yesterday from mm-hmm. one of their shareholders, Oakwood or Oak Tree, that they want to sell 2 million shares.
Hmm. That's wacky.
It was only on Fidelity. It wasn't on Yahoo, or it wasn't on my TD Ameritrade account. It was just on the Fidelity one. And it came out yesterday on that filing at 550-something.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it after hours, and the shares really didn't do anything. I mean, how do you read the 8-day lag in any communication at all from the company? Is that a normal thing for companies to take that long, or is it
sometimes it varies a lot, you know, really, you know, and you're saying the communication in terms of what, the $8 offer, or
yeah, the $7 offer, there hasn't been any we're going to accept it.
I mean, was it at a different company, or the same company raised its offer, or what?
From the November offer, that was two pharmaceutical companies, mm-hmm. supposedly, and this is private equity.
Okay. What I don't understand is the stock closed at 4?
4:27.
Something's wacky there.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd look at that offer and see specifically. You know the full details of it?
No, I just got on their website and what's on Yahoo.
Yeah, I'd try to find more information on that, because it doesn't make sense that if they really made an offer up to $7 a share, why is it trading at 4, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, something with that offer, you have to read the details of that offer. There might be...
Where do you even find anything like that? I mean...
What company is this? I'm doing something else.
Sorrento, S-R-N-E. S-R-N-E.
Yeah. Let me see if I can.
S-R-N-E.
But you're looking up something from the news there?
Yes.
I don't know. Did you try like sites like FinViz or?
No, I didn't do that one. But I just, you know, I went to Bloomberg, I went to Barron's, I went to...
It says Sorrento, surges on $1 billion offer or something?
Right.
When was that, though?
That was 8 days ago.
Right. Is there anything since then at all, or what was the offer?
It was for up to $7 per share.
Yeah, it says up to...
Right, which
but
I don't know.
But there's got to be there's got to be a lot more detail on that. Something strange in that offer somewhere.
It says a private equity fund
did
not respond immediately to request for the name.
Mm-hmm.
So is it a farce? I don't know.
I don't know if it's a farce or, you know.
It could be, if they're not naming it, could be Pete Nye making a bid on, you know, it may not be a reputable bid.
Yeah, there's something weird about it, so.
It's something, I know. And the thing is this Oak Tree Fund filed that with the Security and Exchange Commission to sell mm-hmm. 2 million shares.
Yeah, as of what date, though?
The 19th.
Okay. So when was that, after it or before it?
No, it was January. It was filed January 15th, and...
Mm-hmm.
So it's a non-binding bid, okay? Non-binding proposal, which means mm-hmm. it's worth nothing. You know, a lot of these times when they come in with serious things, they're going to come in and say, okay, you know, we're going to do this offer, and if it falls through, we're going to, you know, guarantee a certain amount of money. But it says it comes a few months after the developer rejected an unsolicited buyout proposal from two pharmaceutical companies, which offered between 3 and 5. For mm-hmm. each of their outstanding shares. So, you know, if it isn't acting better, there's, you know, sounds like, you know, there's not a lot of credence to this offer, or at least the market doesn't think there is.
Yeah, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't own a lot. I do mm-hmm. 250 shares or whatever. But
mm-hmm. No, it's money is money.
I know. It's just, it just strikes me that it's taken them so long to.
Well, you'll find out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they were going to reject it, they'd do it like they did the last offer within 2 days.
Yeah, maybe they're looking more. Like I said, we don't know the actual, whether more details than that.
No,
or maybe they're trying to find out, and they're talking to the company and trying to iron out exactly what are you saying.
Yeah, that's weird because it says up to $7.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean, a non-binding, and you know.
Yeah, it's pretty fishy. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. But
and that filing, I really don't understand that at all because it doesn't say they sold it. It says they have the right to sell it.
Yeah. So in other words, I mean, they got to be prepared, you know, ahead of time to be able to sell the stock in that, you know, quantity. So they got themselves prepared for whatever happens, you know.
Yeah. So that I look as a good thing.
Yeah. You could take it either way, really. But
I mean, if they're preparing themselves to sell the shares.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, they're set either way if they decide forget it or we can now sell it, you know, on the offer, you know, so.
Yeah. I don't know. That's it for me, gentlemen.
Well, appreciate it. You got us started. We appreciate that.
All right. Take care.
Have a good weekend. Take care. Okay, right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Tom in North Tonawanda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I almost fell asleep waiting for that caller to get done.
Didn't you learn a little something?
I heard a lot of questions.
About offers and so forth, you know.
I didn't know you guys were fortune tellers.
Well, we're not fortune tellers, but
Peter,
you know, we're
Peter
saying,
is.
You know, when you see a stock trading at 4 and supposedly the offer is 7, something's fluky, right?
Yes. Okay. MU.
MU. Micron Technology, which everybody loves all of a sudden. They all hated it a little while back. Let's take a look at it real quick. Or maybe not. What I did
closed
was,
at 57.66.
Oh yeah, I know it's been acting very well. I've seen a lot of people recently coming out recommending it. They're saying that, you know, prices are moving up on memory, you know, and that's helpful. And you know, if I remember a little about the company, I think they diversified into other areas too, you know, so they're not just totally a RAM company anymore.
Well, that's good. That's a positive, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Let me see. Technical difficulties. Or some.
Peter dropped the mouse.
You had to tell them what I did.
Of course. It was dead air. You had to tell them something.
Anyway. I mean,
keep it so close to the end of the table.
Yeah, I don't know. Lucky it didn't hit myself, really. I'm not going to talk about that. But anyway. Well, the price objective on the point figure chart, for what it's worth, is 79. Right now.
Sold.
What?
Sold.
Sold.
He'll take it.
Yeah, and it appears, you know, the old high was back at the 64, right? So, you know, you would expect 64 to be the next test. And then, you know, 79 wouldn't be that ridiculous if it took out that 64 area with any authority, really. Yeah, so it looks very strong to you. Do you own it?
I got some about a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. And, you know, if I look at it, let's see where it is. Dun, dun, dun. Where's the 200-day moving average on this thing?
Let's see.
44.51.
Yeah, way above that. Yeah.
So it's way above that. 50 days of 51, you know.
Okay.
So, and you got good support, you know, around that area, 50-51. Yep.
Okay, Peter, there's another one. NIO.
Oh, that's wild, yeah.
Yeah, somebody on the chat box, Pete, that's the one person was asking about, $4.67.
That's the, Chinese electric
auto
car company?
Chinese, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wild speculation, but all of a sudden it's picking up interest, you know.
Yeah.
And well, look at Tesla, $600. What the heck?
I got that about a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been nothing yet. Well, I think it's up a little bit, but.
Well, a lot of traders are playing with it right now, so that causes a little volatility. The key levels, 4.75. If you take that out and hit 5, your next target would be 6, and there's a ton of resistance at 6.
Okay.
So just be aware of that, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the price objective, for what it's worth, is 12, so that'd be nice.
Oh. Peter, and you too, David, why do people buy gold?
Why do they buy gold?
It's pretty.
Well, it can be. I don't know for, you know, in other words, there are times you can and should hold gold or gold stocks. Supposedly, you know, that they're non-correlated, and if the market gets really hit, and an inflation hedge,
I haven't,
and all of that. But what are you talking about? The actual gold itself, you mean?
Yeah. You know, what's it going for now?
In a high 1500s right now.
So, you know, Tom McClellan, who is the founder and believer in the McClellan Oscillator, a lot of people believe in him. He came out, Pete, on January 6th. Now, this was before gold, before the bombing and all that stuff. He said commercial traders of gold futures, that is big money, those who use gold in their trader business, for example, miners, moved last week to the largest ever net short position in history.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and then a reply was, this is what commercials do when the price is profitable for them. Tom's answer was correct in part. It is also what they do when they don't think that prices will get better. If they thought they could do better by waiting to sell, they would hold off. So and when he made this comment, I copied it because I wanted to bring it up on the show if it came up. And then they had the assassination and the other stuff, and gold did take off. But
well,
I don't know, people buy it as an inflation hedge. I think that's
it used to be an inflation hedge. It used to be a geopolitical when there were, you know, a war or something like that, and that's why they buy it. You know, I've always said before, I mean, that's okay for trading or investing for periods of time, but you know, it's still always my belief. Yeah, okay, you know, it's in everybody's head for centuries or whatever that gold is important and so forth. You know, but. It's more a psychological thing.
1557.30 is what it closed at. So, but I think it's more of a trading vehicle. But I do have it in portfolios, just as an inflation hedge, as a part. So,
and then again, long term, you know, if you had bought gold years ago, you'd be way up. You know, so
depends where you bought it. If you bought it at 1800, you wouldn't be way up.
No, if you bought it at 35, when. You know, they took us off the gold standard.
When we were
in
grammar school, you mean?
I don't remember.
No, but some people get, it's very intoxicating, Tom. It's very intoxicating. Yeah. And some people, I've run into people that are highly educated that have taken everything and put it into gold. And it's like, whoa, but what are you going to do?
I like to turn 3,000 into 6 or 5, and I'm happy to get out.
Well, some of them are also, you know, in the groups that go up to the mountaintop waiting for the spaceship to take them.
You know, no, so. I don't know. It is what it is.
But anyway.
Okay.
We're going to offend a lot of people.
No, but I've done that individually with stocks that I thought something was going to happen. And, you know, it's got to happen. It's this, it's that. Something like the, what was the stock? The one we're just at, SRNE. Well, it's got to be. It's $7. It's 4. It's got to go. Get involved. It's human nature. Yeah. Some are like potato chips. Once you have one, you can't give them up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Have a good week.
Have a good weekend. Okay. Right now, we just destroyed the phone lines. They're wide open. Give us a call. 803-1520. Toll free. 800-859-7541. Actually, I think it's 879-8541. But anyway.
What?
Who uses the 800 number?
Was somebody? Oh, it's 800-879-7541.
There you go. It wasn't even close.
Yeah. You going to take a break because it's at time or what?
I think I will. I think I need it.
I think we could use it.
We'll take a quick one-minute break. You know, warm up your phones, and we'll be back in a minute.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning live from 10 to 11. Willard Sapperston and Peter Greco of Sapperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at sapperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Phone lines are picking up a little right now, so give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And, right now we'll go to...
Judy in Buffalo.
Sounds like you need a little help this morning.
I need a lot of help.
Well, I thought I'd call in.
Right.
I have two different directions to go in. The first is my current speculation, which is doing so fantastically well, fuel cell.
Yeah, isn't that something between that and, have you looked at Ballard Power and,
No, I don't even know that. I just,
Okay.
Fuel cell has been the... My speculation of the year.
I know, Willard's been all excited about the future. He cites stories about it and everything,
Yeah, somebody's got to make the power for all of the devices that are coming in the future.
Yeah, I mean,
What's the symbol?
Fuel cell, F-C-E-L.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a very speculator type stock.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I bought it at 60 cents, and now it's up, 300% or more.
And where to close, anyway? Closed at what, 240?
Yeah, 240, yeah.
After running up to 275.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big, big, big resistance area that it broke down from, So it's got to get, I would say to tell you that it's got a lot more potential, hit 3, right? And right now, let me just check, the 200-day moving, it's back at $1. That's no good. And the 50 days, forget it. So you forget the moving averages. But
why
anyway.
I didn't understand. Why forget the moving averages?
Oh, they're so far below it. I don't want to give you a stop, one and a half points below on a... $2 and something stock. That's nuts. Unless you can do that if you're an investor in this area, and you think long term this is going to be great, then you actually would buy it, if it got back down to that area, right?
Yeah, there was some kind of problem with this company, too. They were not in compliance with NASDAQ regulations. They just came back January 13th.
January 13th, they came back. That probably meant that their stock went too low.
It went too low. It was a blow. Usually it's below a buck, normally the thing, and then you have to trade above a buck for, 30 days or something like that. And then it's back in compliance again.
Well, I guess it is in compliance. So I think I'll just hold on to it for... the long term, and
it's a interesting. If I look at the daily chart, it's an interesting bullish pattern, and actually the gap that occurred back. Let's see, it looks like on. I don't know why I don't have my glasses on, but anyway, December 30th. No, has held. held.
What was the gap?
Back on December 30th. Okay, the stock, it wasn't December 30th. It was December 31st. Okay. So it opened at 219. The low was $1.96, and the day before, the high was $1.69. Okay.
Oh my.
So that gap, it went a little bit into the gap area, but it never closed the gap, and that was able to consolidate above it. So it's very, very bullish,
That certainly is a good sign.
Yep.
So that's one direction that I wanted to go in.
Okay.
And the other one is very, very different. I decided that I wanted to do something for my grandchildren, and I opened an account in my name in Fidelity.
Okay.
And I put in some money and decided I needed to buy something for them. So I started with Disney.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's one that I got that I think I would just build up in. But I'm wondering, you know, how it, I shouldn't be looking at it technically, mm-hmm. I don't think. Not for something that I want to leak to them.
Yeah.
So, and what I did is I didn't do anything fancy. I just created five beneficiaries. My name, five beneficiaries.
Okay.
And I just wondered whether you've heard about that, people doing it that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean,
well, it's
I,
a transfer on death is what it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And, yeah, I've seen even more beneficiaries, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that the stocks would actually be transferred to them.
Yeah, it would be split, you know, among the beneficiaries, you know.
I see. So, you know, when people do that, what do they generally do? I mean, I think to give it to them when they receive it, the S&P 500 would be, you know, what everybody would recommend. But I thought something more interesting.
Okay.
And that was why I came up with Disney. But I'm wondering, you know, what else would you think of?
Amazon.
He always says Amazon.
World, so take your pick.
Yeah, I you know, basically, you're saying Amazon, right?
Of course.
And long term, what would you buy?
Yeah, but we're your grandchildren.
Right, yeah. Amazon. So that's...
Amazon, what else are you going to buy?
Well, Amazon's a great buy, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't buy like a Tesla at these levels or anything like that. Or,
well, I don't know. I just read Barron's. They say that they could go up 10 times in value.
Yeah,
but, I know. Well, listen.
I don't know if you want to buy
Amazon
a Tesla,
doesn't have earnings either, so it could be. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Amazon is so expensive that they would each get a fraction of a share.
Oh, yeah, that makes it tough.
I'll put more money in, Judy.
No question.
Oh. What? Take my money? Do that?
Come on.
Let me just take
a minute. I have a text from your grandkids. Tell grandma to put more money in. No.
Let me just take a look at something real quick.
You know, Tesla is actually interesting because, you know, at first it seemed like a big joke.
Yeah.
And
certainly
Elon Musk seems like a big joke. But now it's, I think a lot of people are taking him seriously. And I heard that this car, that they're selling like wildfire in Europe.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I thought that it was another joke again, but I always refer back to how everybody laughed at Jeff Bezos.
Oh, did they ever?
Oh, yeah. Every time he came on CNBC, because you like to chuckle a lot, too, you know.
Yeah.
So they would laugh at him. You know,
Steve Jobs, too. A lot of the geniuses.
Steve Jobs.
There's
a
stock you can buy for your kids, Apple. I don't think they're going to go out of business. But, you know, I saw a Tesla yesterday. They're beautiful cars. They're expensive. They're expensive. I don't want to say it's for elitists, but you've got to have a certain amount of money to buy one of those. Plus, Judy, where do you plug it in? You got to have what does it cost to put a plug in your house? I have no idea.
Well, I don't know that either. I saw one.
That's why it's not mass marketed.
In the Kohl's parking lot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I said, what is this thing here? And then it was, you know, it's
down at Gates Vascular, too. The newer ramps have them. And I keep on forgetting to look if you have to pay. I think they're free. I can't remember.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, the big thing is going to be, and there is some supposedly new tremendous battery technology in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever get this new battery technology working, then these things could really
take I'm waiting off, for transporters. Yeah. That's the technology we want. Mm-hmm. Star Trek.
Yeah, well, anyway, if you go to Barron's, this weekend, it says Tesla and Spotify stock could soar tenfold.
Oh, well, that certainly will give it a boost tomorrow.
Yep, there you go. So anyway, there's a couple of possibilities.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Okay. That's really interesting.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you for calling. Okay, right now, phone line's pretty wide open. Give us a call. We're going to go to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Nice to hear you again this weekend.
Thank you.
One of the things I have in mind is I was looking at the price of natural gas. It usually shows up on CNBC, and right now it's about $2.12. It's pretty low. It was down 7 cents, I think, on Wednesday.
Yeah, we like it. We like it low, Art.
Yeah, I know. Low,
we so like we it in what
to,
way?
We like it because it costs me little to heat my house.
Let's clarify that point.
I was going to.
Okay.
Yeah, I heat with oil, so it doesn't affect me too much on that.
Right.
Except on the stove.
Okay.
And is there a way to invest in this? Do you have to buy futures, or how can you get?
There are some ETFs, but you have to look into them because some of them don't work properly. And so I would Google natural gas ETFs and then look into them, because one of them used to have a problem because every time the contracts expired, they had to roll into the new contracts, and it would kind of hurt the performance. And I think they may have done something. So I'd look into each one of them. But
why?
I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, why do you think natural gas is going to go up? I know you're a bottom fisher. So
you got that right.
Okay, so that's what it is. But
it's been as high as 233 and things like that. So
it used to be $6. But the thing is, the reason it's down is there's so much of it.
Right, right.
You know, and that, you know, as Pete says, you can buy the commodity, but there's a fine life to that. There's it's not
like
infinite.
An option?
I think it's a waste of money. You're better off going to a casino or buying a lottery ticket. I don't know. There's a finite life to it. It's not like buying a stock, Apple.
But anyway, there's a number of them. One of them's UNG, which, let's say back in the beginning of 2019 was 40, and now it's down to, 15?
That's a bottom.
Right.
There's your bottom fisher.
There you
go. But look into it, how they operate it. You don't want one that has to constantly roll their contracts, you know.
No, exactly.
And then there's pipeline companies, and that can be confusing. It's just,
The second one I picked up on was shown on CNBC, was Bombardier. It's a airplane supplier, and I think they're affiliated with Airbus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw you on the chat room, thinking...
What's the symbol on that thing?
BDRBF, I think. It doesn't show up in the NASDAQ listing. I looked for it this morning.
Yeah, I can't
find
it.
I think it's a foreign company.
But there is a symbol for it. But
its range is 85 cents to 227, and on Thursday it was 93 cents.
So well, there you go. Bonham Fisher.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just thinking, you know.
I mean, many years ago, I mean, I can't find it on the charts, but many years ago, people always talked about it. Who knows, it's a real speculation.
Yeah, I think they might make some of the smaller planes, too.
Right, yep.
Instead of the big jets,
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Yeah, last item, question. Is there a way to evaluate differently the commercial banks like... Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley versus a Citi, a Bank of America, or a J.P. Morgan, where they have more retail outlets?
Well, not that we could do. Banking's very complicated.
You got trading.
Some of them, have a big, like you said, big percentage based on trading, big percentage based on loans. So I don't think so.
Credit cards.
you would have to read up on each individual one.
Yeah, and Goldman is not really a commercial bank. Your commercial banks are ones that deal with the public, Citibank, Bank of America, Wells Fargo.
So how do they, in other words, you cannot open an account with Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley anywhere in a retail banking establishment?
I don't believe they have checking accounts. That's what you consider a commercial bank.
But I really don't know.
Goldman's
for sure.
in the credit card business now because they're with the Apple Card.
Right.
That could be big with China opening up, but.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, if you look at Morgan Stanley, they had blowout earnings on Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I lucked out. They saved me and made me a lot of money in an option that was going to expire worthless.
Very good.
On the next day.
I guess you're buying coffee next week, right?
Yeah.
I won't hold
anyway,
my breath.
So much for that.
Okay.
All right.
Pete, did you get my mail in?
I did. Thank you very much. Disappointing, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. Just a little bit of information anyway.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, have a good weekend.
Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, Art.
Okay, we're going to go next to a very patient Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Dave, you're a fixed income guy. Somebody's sitting on cash in a taxable account who's using the cash to, dollar cost average into SPY when it dips 7%. Mm-hmm. Where else can they put that money? If they don't want to touch it, say, go, let's say, 9 months to a year, collecting more than 1.95, which is taxable. Would a New York muni be in order here? What would you recommend? What's out there?
Well, 9 months is such a short time limit. I'd be hesitant to put it into anything that's interest sensitive that could, you know, in the event interest rates go up, you know, you could lose your lose some of your value. That's the only problem. So where are they getting 195?
Vanguard, their best money market's paying 195.
That's where I would keep it. The other suggestion I tell people when they're looking for higher rates is Bank on Buffalo locally pays 2% for savings accounts with no time limit. But it's not worth moving it for that. But you could get a New York Muni fund, but you know you'd probably make over 2% tax free, but. You know, you always have that risk that interest rates start going up, you're going to see your principal decrease.
So with a muni, though, what you're looking at is a very small percentage increase over 195, but the fact it would be tax-free, it'd be the money market's taxable.
Correct. It depends on the bracket. If it's a low bracket, it doesn't matter that much. And, again, I left my laptop home, so I can't pick up the Invesco Rochester fund type of thing. But, you know, I would think the no-load funds probably have yields that are very comparable to where this person is. And I wouldn't move it if it's 9 months. And, again, all of a sudden you lose 3% in principal, you know, you're behind the eight ball. Just keep it where it is.
So there's no threes out there, is what you're saying, safe.
Not without a cost.
No, I understand.
Right,
no,
you know what I'm saying? No load. I don't know of any. Let's put it that way.
Okay, guys. Hey, great show as always. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go next to Jim in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Yes, sir. I just was wondering what the future of GE stock is.
Well, basically,
it's not as bright as it used to be. Ha
ha. Ha. But anyway, no, I think you know people are starting to get a little bit more positive on the company. They're kind of trying to restructure the company. They've got some more skeletons in the closet, you know. But you know, they think the guy who took over is doing the right thing. You know, I mean, do you own it or?
Yes, I do own it, and.
So here's the story. Close at 11:81. Until they get rid of that guy who's an insider, this company's not going to make that big of a change. They need to get – you're hearing this all the time. This guy's been with the company for 30 years. It's going to be very difficult for him to change things when his cronies are there. And nothing personal against him. I don't know him. It seems to me until they get rid of those insiders – it's going to be very difficult to make a change because they were part and parcel of all the problems that have led up to this. So I wouldn't buy it until they make those changes. So
yeah, well, they're always hiring an insider. They won't bring an outsider in, right?
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't buy it.
Well,
that's me.
You know, in terms of, I remember years ago I was at an investor conference and the new person who took over Kodak got up and did a big spiel about the changes he made. And he was an insider. And I got up and I said, listen, until you change the culture of your company, you're done. And that's basically what happened to Eastman Kodak.
Well, look at Boeing. And Boeing's the antithesis of that because they've got insiders, even though David Calhoun, he's been a board member for years. But he's more of an outsider than the previous gentleman who, you know, but why does that stock hold up? GE doesn't hold up. It hasn't. And I feel your pain in being disappointed. So.
Well, let's look at a chart real quick. And I think, when's the earnings coming up on this? No, they had earnings last time.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's not be...
I believe them.
And actually, you know, the stock broke out, broke out of a nice base. And, you know, if people get disappointed, the game's over, but... For what it's worth, the price objective is 20. There'll be a lot of resistance in the 15 area. A lot of analysts, for what they're worth, have like a $15 potential target on it. So, you know, I'd probably stick with it for a little while. I'd check when the earnings are coming out.
The market's been up for a bit of time, the stock's down. I mean, I don't think you need to know anything else.
I noticed that.
Yeah, but
what do you think if they ever broke the company up?
I don't know. You know,
it's got to be worth more.
But the bottom line is, I mean, the stock's been down, but it built a base. It was down to 7. Now it's 12 almost. Is that a heck of a gain? Yeah. You know, so there's a possibility. I'd check when the earnings are coming out and, you know, see what happens next.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, I'm
going
to look for those earnings. So hopefully before the end of the show, I'll be able to
get it. Well, let me get to the chat box real quick. Somebody asked about a company that he's got something
January 29th.
What's that?
Earnings.
Earnings, January 29th. So watch that. Also, I just wanted to get, somebody asked about American, he says he has his money in Mutual of America, negative, AM Best revises outlook to negative for Mutual of America Life Insurance Company. I would suggest, you know, we normally don't do this, but I have a guy at the office who's very big and on top of this and knows, you know, a lot about these things. I would call the office, 854-7541, and ask for Mike, and, you know, he should be able to help you out. Also, because he's very knowledgeable in that area. I am not. And what else do we have real quick? Nobody on the line. You can give us a call, 803-1520.
I've got people asking about Dunkin' Donuts, Dunkin' Brands.
That must have been a long way back. That was a week ago.
That doesn't mean you can't answer them. We did.
I think we did.
No, that was the one that the guy asked yesterday.
Remember oh, I yesterday? Said, really?
Yeah. What, would I lie to you?
Yeah.
No. I got 7 or 8 lined up here.
Well, we'll never get to all of them, but anyway. we had surprisingly busy phone calls today, but anyway. Yeah, Dunkin' looks very good.
Close at 7861.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you got it's a breakout of a major base, okay? Potential price target around 90, next resistance around 84.
Nice.
And would reevaluate at 73.
Okay, Berkshire B, BRK.B, close at 230.20.
BRK.B. People have became negative on him, but I don't know. Well, this is going to be tough. It's BRK what?
.B.
.B?
Mm-hmm. It's not that tough, B.
It's tough.
Come on. Suck it up.
You're not doing this. It doesn't like .B either.
Suck it up.
Right, what'd you say?
I said, suck it up.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought you said something else. No, Jesus, no.
It comes on finviz.b.
Well, I
don't
know.
That's the actual symbol, BRK.
Yeah.
.B.
Okay.
Should.
We'll try it real quick.
All righty.
Famous last. Well, hey, major breakout. And then it died. Forget it. Can't do it. But okay. It looks very good, to tell you the truth. When the thing popped up real quickly, why it died, I have no idea. I hope that wasn't a comment. What else you got there?
SDC, the same gentleman's or person, is looking for an entry point.
For SDC?
Yep. It is a Smile Direct Club. Oh, very good. Yeah.
Really?
Close to 1290. This is a company, Pete, that it's, I think, whitening, but they also have the braces that you don't have to go to the orthodontist. You put the stuff in your mouth for a year or something. I don't know.
Had a bad day on Friday. Don't know why. I don't know if there was any news on Friday. But did they have earnings come out or something on Friday?
No, it's a comeback story. No.
But whatever. You know, it had a, you know, drop of some.
It was down almost 3%, which is 36 cents. So.
Right.
Okay, they were talking about it on CNBC. But it's a millennial play.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the 200-day moving average is 11.
Young people want white teeth.
The 150-day is 11, and the 50-day is 9.5. So ideally, if you saw it somewhere in the 11 area, would be potentially a good buy. Short term, that's tougher, and I don't think I have the time totally to do that. But look at it real quick. Famous real quicks, right?
Smile Direct, SDC.
SDC. Yeah. I mean, it had a big run-up, a big gap. The gap's at 11, so there's a lot of things at 11. So anywhere where you feel comfortable, you know, between 11 and the current price, and it held up, you know, reasonably well on Friday. So, and you know, looking at it, I'd probably stop it out, you know, somewhere or below 10, which is a long way down. So it depends on how much risk you want to take.
Right, exactly.
Yep. So anyway, we are at the end of the show. Thank you for the calls. Thank you for the chat box. Keep a little powder dry. We'll be back next week.
Have a good weekend.